Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with us. We've got John Stanton here with us, ladies and gentlemen. John's an old friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and we couldn't do without him. He's the author, along with Richard George, of the books Delight Me, The Ten Commandments of Customer Service, and Success Leaves Clues. He's a professor at an important university there in the Philadelphia area, and he travels all over the world helping companies like yours and mine put our best foot forward. And more importantly, though, he's our good friend. John Stanton, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And here you are in Philadelphia, which is basically the origins of Benjamin Franklin, but certainly Benjamin Franklin. By the way, folks, if you remember, today is the 300th anniversary of Benjamin Franklin's birthday. So we're sort of celebrating him all day long. John, I talked a little bit more about him in the previous segment. But you're there in Philadelphia. I hope Philadelphia is putting on a big soiree for Benjamin Franklin today.
They're making a pretty good deal of it. The city doesn't necessarily view Ben Franklin. We have so many here,
right.
As one of the founding cities, that Benny is just one of many. But no, he's getting some attention today.
He's very important. I was going over some of the quotes that he gave, John. I want to mention a couple more of them, and I'd like to get you to pepper your thoughts of Benjamin Franklin here. He says, "If you would not be forgotten as soon as you're dead, either write something worth reading or do something worth writing." Isn't that great?
He probably has more quotes that are just absolutely fascinating,
yeah,
you know, in their insight than anyone I know of. Maybe just, the guy that wrote Tom Sawyer.
Right. Oh, you mean Mark Twain?
Mark Twain, yeah. He and Mark Twain just, I think, have. But they're really something. And
yeah,
I think, you know, the message, Jim, for the listeners is Ben Franklin was quite an entrepreneur.
Walter Isaacson says he's America's first entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah. And what he did really well was kind of weaved his way through this web, if you will, of in those days more dealing with government and dealing with the countries and dealing with all these things, but never lost sight of what his real passion was being an entrepreneur.
Right.
Inventing all of these things.
Right, absolutely.
He was a statesman. I mean, he was a founding father of the country.
When you look back on all the things he did, doesn't it amaze you he got all that done at that time of in history?
Jim, I don't know where the time of day was. And keep in mind, they didn't get on jet planes and go to these
meetings.
That's
right. That's right. No, if he crisscrossed the Atlantic Ocean 8 times.
Yeah.
In his life. Oh, here's another.
That was in a sailing ship.
Yeah, that's right. Here's another quote I love. The Constitution, and I say this all the time, the Constitution only gives people the right to pursue happiness.
Yeah.
Not the right to happiness.
Yep.
And you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but he was a significant editing influence on the Declaration of Independence that Thomas Jefferson wrote.
Yep.
And I have in the book that I have here, Benjamin Franklin, that Walter Isaacson wrote, there's actually a photograph of the edits that he made on the actual document. It's fascinating. Some of the words that we think now that are so important to us were his ideas, not Jefferson's.
That's right.
Here's another one. I like this one, John. Here's an important one. And I think this is important. This is still very important for our time, John. The man who trades freedom for security does not deserve, nor will he receive either. You know,
very good quote.
Isn't that great? I mean, this time, I think all earthlings have to realize that appeasement doesn't work, and I think that's what he was talking about. If he trades...
Ask Neville Chamberlain.
Exactly. Exactly. Here's a good one, like this one, John. Three can keep a secret if two of them are dead.
That's what I love about Ben Franklin's quote. I hope the listeners find that as funny as I did. I mean, he really is... he had a wit and a sense of humor. And, you know, if you could create an icon for the, you know, for the independent businessman, I mean, he would truly be one. He never seemed to let it get him down. I mean, he had down times.
John, he also said, fish and visitors smell in 3 days.
Yeah.
But he's less known for saying, unless they're in-laws, and that's 2 days. And we're going to take a quick break. He also said, folks, well, here's one more before we go. When you're finished changing, you're finished. 22, we'll be right back with John Stanton. We're going to find out what's happening over in the eastern part of this earth. 22, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're through celebrating Benjamin Franklin's birthday. Well, not really. We're just going to talk about some other things. We always need to celebrate great Americans like that. John, I want to say one last thing about Benjamin Franklin. I have said many times before that Benjamin Franklin and maybe two or three other of the founders, if you brought them back to life from where they were when they were productive, and you plop them down in the middle of 21st century America, they'd be fully functioning in 90 days. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Don't you think? I think Benjamin Franklin would have a business started within 48 hours. And he'd have a website.
I think it's because, especially if you listened to your quotes, those quotes are as insightful in 2006 as they were in the 1700s when they said it.
That's right.
That takes a very perceptive person to be able to see the core point that transcends time.
And especially the one that's the most telling to me, and I think epitomizes his life, was when he said, when you're through changing, you're through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he lived that his whole life, didn't he?
Yeah. No, now, he had a good life, too. He had a long life.
He sure did. And apparently the ladies liked him, too. He must have been very charming. Hey, John, let's move on and talk about where you just got back from. You just got back from really the tsunami-ravaged part of the earth, didn't you?
Yeah, I was in Sri Lanka, and it was a good wake-up call for me to see what a country that is dominated by small business. What are some of their problems and how they solve some of their problems and issues. And it was really good to get involved in that again and kind of say, hold it, I'm in a country where big business dominates the news. This is a country where small business dominates the news. And actually what it was a person that owned a small chain of maybe 25 small grocery stores really wanted to expand his business and do better. And the question he had for me was, where are going to be the soft points in his growth? Where are going to be the problem areas? And, you know, what was amazing was I was sitting in meetings in Sri Lanka where only 12% of people buy food in grocery stores, and the discussions and the problems and the solutions, I had to bang my head on the side of my head and say, "Where am I?" I mean, these are the same problems we have at home.
You've traveled to the other side of the earth, and the problems are waiting on you there, right?
Yeah. Guess what was the number one problem? Trained employees.
Mm-hmm.
Number one problem is how do you get trained employees who share the vision of what you're trying to accomplish to come to work every day in a small business.
Well, you know, John, the reason that doesn't surprise me is because there is that one common denominator, the humans.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I think sometimes that we let politics, we let habits and customs blind ourselves to these are people really just like us. with exactly the same problems as us, wanting to be comfortable in our homes and have food to eat and maybe have a few little things to make us look special.
And our children to have a future.
Yep, and our children to have a future.
And see, that's important, I think, John, for us to land on for a second. When we not only think about, in your case, helping them do business in their own country, but in our case, doing business with those people.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's for sure.
Importing and exporting.
That's for sure. And I for the longest time, have told, and this is, you know, this is more true for small business than large business, but so many medium-sized businesses say, you know, I hear all this talk about international markets, and I have all this leftover product. I'm going to try and sell it in the international market.
Mm-hmm.
The international market is not the garbage can.
Right. They're pretty savvy, aren't they?
They're very savvy, and they really understand that when people are just taking something they don't want and trying pushing it on them. And the thing that's a shame is, and this is the common advice I give medium and small business, is it costs so little to make minor changes and adjustments in your product to make it perfect for those people. You know, spend the extra few cents if you're going to try and put it in the international market. Spend the extra few cents and try to match what your product satisfies to what people are looking for.
Find out a little bit about what's important to them.
Yep.
And make that adjustment. Let me give you a quick story. One of the guys with the U.S. Commercial Services, the folks who in the Commerce Department who help small businesses export, was on the show recently, and he was telling me about a company, a United States company that makes exercise equipment. And guess what the adjustment was that they had to make to sell their equipment in Japan. They had to make the seat smaller.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. But you know that's exactly the point, that you know they might have this quote extra equipment, and instead of just throwing it in containers and sending it over there, if they just took that little bit of extra and changed the seat.
Right. Well, they had to find that out, and that was one of the things they found out. But wouldn't you love to have been on that conversation when the Japanese told the people, you know, hey Americans, you guys, your backsides are too big.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I'd love to have heard that. By the way, that was Doug Barry with the U.S. Commercial Services. Thanks to my crack team for reminding me who that was. We got to take a quick break, John. When we come back, we're going to find out some more things that John Stanton learned while he was in Sri Lanka and how things may be different. But maybe not so much in other parts of the world. We'll be right back with John Stanton after these messages. He and Richard George have written books called Delight Me, The 10 Commandments of Customer Service, and the other book is called Success Leaves Clues. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and John Stanton is our guest, and he's one of our top customer care experts. John, by the way, did you know that today is Customer Service Day?
No, I did not know that. Yeah.
Well, you know, we're like baseball. We keep all these records. And today is Customer Service Day. John, can we find you on a website somewhere?
Yeah, you can find my website. It's very creatively named, www.johnlstanton.com.
All right, johnlstanton.com, STANTON.com. We can find your books there, I'm sure.
Yep, yep,
and,
you can order them there.
And lots of articles and stuff like that.
Yep, yep.
And if you want John to help you, which he does many times, and by the way, that's St. Joseph's University. That's where you're teaching, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, in that right there in Philadelphia. Okay.
The land of Benjamin Franklin.
Exactly. Tell us some more about what you learned while you were in Sri Lanka, but other places as well, right?
Yeah, I was in India and Singapore. First of all, one thing amazed me, and this is not a business thing, this is a personal thing, but I think a lot of people, it's pretty much in the news. Went to Singapore, went all these countries, everyone said Merry Christmas to me. Nobody said Happy Holidays. It was all Merry Christmas. So finally and the Christmas lights were up, and here were Buddhists that had creches out, etc. So I said to the one guy, I said, you know, I'm a little confused. In the United States, I've been made to feel uncomfortable by saying Merry Christmas. I say Happy Holidays to everyone. And he said, we are confident enough in our own religions that we're pleased to celebrate the religious ceremonies of others.
Boy, that's a high level of intelligence there, isn't it?
I was so impressed
by that.
That's
something. You know, I keep, when you were talking about that and doing the little comparison there, John, you know Pogo, right? The wise possum.
Yeah, I know.
You know his famous quote, right?
I do, yeah.
You want to give it to us?
We have found the enemy, and it is us.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pogo has never been more, that wisdom has never been more accurate, I think, than now.
Yep. And it's a tough thing, and I understand that people that aren't Catholic or Christian or, you know, may find it maybe somehow offensive. But we're just celebrating a holiday, and when my friends of other religions have holidays, I'm happy for them, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I don't feel like someone's trying to convert me.
It's called tolerance, and when we have Islamic fanatics trying to kill us who are the opposite of tolerance, I think peaceful folks ought to be practicing more tolerance. What did you find out?
I think it's not by chance that they were mostly Buddhists.
Yeah.
Who were taking this position. I think there's no one more tolerant than Buddhists.
I think you're right. What did you find in India? How's India doing?
Well, I had quite a shock in India, and I don't know how many of your listeners were like me, where I was reading Business Week and Newsweek about how India is really developing and it's, you know, the next great economy, etc. And as I drove from Delhi on a four-hour trip, I must have passed 200 carts being pulled by camels,
right?
Water buffalo, mules. I mean, I'm saying to myself, on roads, by the way, that were simply two-way highways. I mean, you know, one lane going one way, and we had to pass, you know, to get around carts.
Well, India is, and in a lot of ways, you know, China and a lot. I mean, those countries they're really two different. They're like parallel universes over there, aren't they?
Yeah. It's absolutely correct, and as a friend of mine said, you know, keep in mind, let's suppose only 20%, 25% of India really is like they're describing in Business Week, etc.
Right. Right.
Well, that's still the same size as the United
States.
Of,
well, hey, the middle class in China is 300 million, which is the size of America. John, I got less than a minute, about 30 seconds. What one piece of wisdom did you bring back from over there for us in the United States?
That the small business person that is really motivated, that really sees in their heart that their success is running and owning their business, can do it. They're all working hard over there to be their own boss and to do things themselves. They don't have a corporate mentality over there.
Yeah.
To us, sometimes small business is a substitute for a real job.
Right.
Over there, your own business is the real job. And when you work for someone else, that's the substitute.
The 21st century is really the century of the entrepreneur, isn't it, John?
It really is.
John, thank you.
I'm hoping it is anyway.
Thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Enjoy the celebration of Benjamin Franklin up there in Philadelphia.
Thanks, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.